Too many things up here. If you're a visitor this morning, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at Adventure, and the first time I've said that. I'll explain more of why everyone's applauding at that statement, so it doesn't seem weird. But we designed our bulletin. If you're visiting, our desire is that you would come in to a community and be able to feel like you belong and not feel like an outsider. My wife and I have had seasons in our life where we were looking for a church community to connect with. And we know some of those emotions that you're feeling when you come in and visit a place for the first time. There's a connection card in your bulletin. If you want to fill that out, if you feel comfortable with that, you can drop it in the back or just come talk to me after the service. We'd love to connect with you, but that gives us an opportunity to reach out to you and connect with you. Here we go again. Yeah, go ahead. So I'll talk a little bit about Duval Days while they try to get that. We had some difficulty with our PowerPoint advancing. Got it. Cool. Thank you. Duval Days was yesterday. If you don't know what Duval Days is, it's a crazy circus parade thing that we do here in Duval. Thousands of people come. And one of the opportunities we get as Adventure Church is just to represent the body of Christ and really just to bless the people who are down there. We had a dunk tank we were borrowing from another church, and the kids loved that. I really didn't know if anyone would use the dunk tank. But there was a constant line, I would say, for probably 5 hours. There was never really a time where there was a lull in people. But one person in particular, it was hard to get the kids a chance to get into the dunk tank because this one person was always getting in the dunk tank.
Okay, go.
Anyways, actually... She only did it once. Okay. Thank you, Susan. I was going to ask you if it was okay to show that, but I forgot. Sorry. I was. While we were praying this morning, I was like, I should ask Susan if she's okay with it. Sorry about that. Will you forgive me? No $5 rule. Okay. So anyways, if you helped at our booth, we were giving out Otter Pops and water and helping just run kids through the dunk tank. I don't think we had any injuries that anybody spoke up of before they walked away from it. So thank you for helping, and just so many people were just, they just went down there to have a fun time with their family, and their kids were just, it was like a fair ride or something for them to get to sit on this thing and drop down into some balls in this tank. So thanks for helping with that. So everyone was cheering when I said I'm the lead pastor. I want to explain that a little bit. So we've been through some transition at Adventure. Adventure's coming up on its 15-year anniversary this year. Yeah, and my wife and I came here just before the one-year anniversary, so we've been here about 14 years, and we've had two transitions of lead pastors. A couple of weeks ago, we had a membership vote because B.J. Hillebush and Nicole had stepped down from that position. Really, a healthy situation where they were going to give their focus more to some of the things around their family and raising their kids, and really walking with God and shepherding in that arena and realizing that it's just a lot right now at this time of their life to shepherd a church and their family through the stage of life that they're in. I want to just say you guys are awesome in supporting them in that and just hearing from other people who have experienced how we walked through that, just saying, wow, that is amazing how understanding and supportive and encouraging you guys are for pastors to make healthy changes and decisions in their lives. Sometimes there's just, you can feel this drive to like, I gotta keep going with this because it's a godly calling. But BJ and Nicole walked with God in that. And so thank you for being a mature body of believers who can just let God walk people through the story that's unfolding for them. And then also just in the encouragements, as I prayed, having been a pastor through both these transitions now, praying about whether I was supposed to submit myself to you as members for being considered for lead pastor, which I'm so glad that we have that set up to allow you guys to pray, to walk with God, to respond to what he's doing in your hearts and make that decision. Because ultimately, it's God who is leading this church, like Nick said. So through all of that, and I'll apologize now, my voice might crack a couple times just because of Duval days and screaming and yelling and having fun down there. But through these past 5 months now that BJ and Nicole have stepped out, God's been doing a lot of stuff in my heart. And so I want to talk just for a minute or two on what he's been speaking to me a little bit. Because it's been a journey of this series that we're in, Salt and Light, has kind of culminated through where he started talking to me end of December. When BJ and Nicole came to us and said, hey, we need some time just to step away at that point, not knowing where that was going to go, but they were going to spend some time with God. And BJ said, Jeff, I want you to just seek the Lord and just what does he want to do in you and in the church? Don't ask yourself, what would BJ do? You know, go to God, which is cool because that's how I operate. So I went to the Lord and he started to stir up all this stuff about what is worship really? What is prayer really? Which I think where he was getting to is, what is the church really? What is the church? And that's taken me into a deeper journey of study in really being careful to, and the reason I'm telling you all this stuff, it's a little bit vulnerable that I'm going to share and I'm going to read something from my journal, is because I want accountability too. Because it's very easy to step into a position of leadership and say, I've got answers. Here's where we're going. We're going to fix things. You know, I'm not coming with that attitude. I love BJ. I honor him. And God used him to lead us through these last 4 years exactly what we need to be doing and stirring up. And then God has been speaking in these 5 months as well. And with that freedom to say, what if we really take a deep look at salt and light? And that was Jonah. You know, it felt like we're supposed to dig into Jonah. And I'm discovering stuff along with everybody as we're digging into that. And whoa, we're sitting on a treasure chest. And God's giving me these pictures of, what if we started digging into that treasure that God's given us here and now? There's treasure in heaven. There's eternal life coming. But all of us in this room, pretty sure we're alive right now in our bodies. Okay? If you're not, raise your hand. Okay, thanks, Lawrence. I need to do that. So there's a treasure that we're supposed to not just enjoy for ourselves, but enjoy the abundance in God. I'm not just talking about having a bunch of money. The treasure of the Holy Spirit and the power that he brings to the body of Christ to establish the kingdom of God, which brought us into salt and light, and unpacking the idea that there's this kingdom of light coming into the kingdom of darkness. You guys are getting a five-month review right now. Where have we been? But we're going to be in salt and light for a while, because what I sense is God saying, I want to not just have you guys understand that there's this cool metaphor, this cool picture in scripture that Jesus himself gives to us of the church being salt and light, but is the world experiencing that? And just as importantly, are we experiencing that in our community? Because what he's been doing in my heart is realizing we really want to go out and be salt and light out to the community and reach out and show them the character of God. But if I'm not in a family of believers where I am just being encouraged and filled up and challenged in the areas where I need to grow more to be like God and experiencing the supernatural power of God working through his church, then I'm just trying to go out there on my own effort and share. But when I'm experiencing being filled up and filling from others, being called up in different ways, being called out in love, like that's a supernatural community that looks different than the world. So I think God's trying to build something like that with every church, not just us uniquely. Okay, so what I'm saying is I want to be careful to not go to a place of, ooh, now I get to try my ideas. Now I get to try the things I'm excited about because I'm the lead pastor. And you guys get to go see, you know, what Jeff can do. And you guys are sitting here going, yes, Jeff's the lead pastor. I wonder what he's going to do for the church. I really want to warn you guys as much as I'm warning myself to not go there. God's actually calling us up, all of us. And so I'm going to read this from my journal. Now, you're going to hear me talk a lot about just hearing God, and here's what I felt like God was saying, and that might hit you sideways. That might not be a part of your theology or your understanding or experience with God. I have studied this a lot in Scripture. I have walked with God a lot in understanding at what level does he interact with his children now, before heaven, before we die. And believe very strongly that he is not a silent father, that he speaks. Sometimes it's easier for us to believe that the enemy, Satan, speaks to us than it is to believe that God does. And I want to say that's warped by the enemy to keep us from one of the most important values we can have, which is that God wants to lead us through the intimate details of our lives. Does he ever speak anything against Scripture? Absolutely not. And does he speak through Scripture? Absolutely. And first and foremost through Scripture. So as I read this, this is me writing out just some, bringing some questions to God, and this is a piece of the conversation. You don't get to hear the whole conversation. This is my journal, okay? But as I'm asking him, just submitting to him this role of being a pastor at this church, which is really a shepherd and a servant, here's some of the stuff I felt like he was saying. Just, this is the impression I got. You can weigh it against the word, pray and ask God if you feel like it's from him. Jeff, you will never be a successful pastor. Thanks, God. This is off to a good start. In the definition many American churches would give, I am calling you to be a biblical pastor, one who encourages and equips the saints for ministry. He's talking about you guys now. Don't get in the way of others whom I will minister through. Rather, call them up, encourage them, help me help them to believe in who I have made them to be. No one gets a second string Holy Spirit, sports term. My Spirit will work powerfully through each member of my church. Not as the world defines power or gifting, the popular talents of preaching or singing, but in supernatural love, in reckless acts of sacrifice, in service that leaves the world in awe. Let it be known that I am raising up my church to be the body of Christ. In all the fullness that the world experienced Jesus, they will likewise experience my church. In all the fullness that the world experienced Jesus, picture that for a moment, and the things that he did, they will likewise experience my church. That is a really big calling on our lives as the church, as the body of Christ. That the world would experience us like they experienced Jesus. That we wouldn't just read about the impact that Jesus had on the world and go, wow, but that's Jesus, that's so cool. He actually calls us up to be the body of Christ. That means we're actually going to bring that level of impact on the world, salt and light. And it's not going to be by us just rolling up our sleeves. It's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit that he gave us. So he gave us the ability to do the things that he does and even greater things, because the same power that was working in him is in us through the Holy Spirit. So it's easy. It can be easy to fall into this model that there's a few pastors, there's a few ministry leaders who are called to do the ministry. But I don't have a strategy to roll this out. Here's my strategy. Let us seek the Lord with all our hearts and then do what he says. That's the strategy. And so far what I've gotten in that strategy is him saying, I'm an equipper. Okay, naturally, there'll be some ministry that flows out of me as a part of the body of Christ. But in my role as a pastor, I'm equipping the saints for the ministry. So you're the ministers. you have the same Holy Spirit I have, okay? That's just remember that, okay? Hopefully, I don't know if that's recorded or not, but you can go back and listen to that and hold me to it, okay? Because that's as much as I have so far of where we're going. So let's pray, and then we'll get into our series. So Lord, I just commit that to you. If that's from you, Lord, I'm not claiming to write scripture. That's been finished. Scripture is written, the word of God. But Lord, your voice as a shepherd is still leading us in carrying out your word, in carrying out your truth. So we submit that to you. And we come before you and say, Lord, here's our strategy to seek you with all of our hearts. Not just a prayer on a whim when in between commercials in the show we're watching, or just like devoted seeking you for how we can be salt and light, how we can impact this world and impact each other within the body at the level that you did, Jesus. Would you lead us into that and show us what that looks like? Lord, I just pray over the people here, the members and the people who are a part of this fellowship. Would you show them that they have ministry, that they have a calling on their life, and lead them into that as well, open their eyes to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So, under that heading of salt and light, okay, there are some categories that we need to talk about as we continue to go deeper and deeper into being a salt and light community. One of them is spiritual warfare. It's not, everything isn't about spiritual warfare, but if we truly are being asked to bring a kingdom of light against a kingdom of darkness, we need to understand a little bit about this kingdom of darkness and understand our place and our authority that is under somebody else's authority, Jesus, okay? So last week was Jesus' victory, and Nick did an awesome job of just sharing with us this incredible victory and work of the cross. It's not just the death and the blood of Jesus that brings the victory. It is absolutely through his death that we have a payment for our sins. So if you have ever sinned in your life, which would be everyone in this room, then you have a payment that's due to God, because he said the wages of sin is death. And so that payment was paid through Jesus' death. But then more happened. Jesus rose from the dead. He was resurrected. He overcame through the power of the Holy Spirit, because he was without sin. That's why he could pay for us. So there's this resurrection victory. And that's the new creation that we become. We're now no longer dead in our sins, but we're made alive in Christ, and we're a new creature to live now with God and to be the body of Christ. So we can now be what Jesus was to the world in bringing the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. So there's this death, there's this resurrection victory, and there's his ascension, which is the authority over the ruling powers that were a part of this world, Satan and his demons, who are kicked out of heaven. Actually, we're angels, but they wanted to rule and to reign. Sound familiar? They wanted to rule, and they were kicked out. There was this great war in heaven. And we talked about the number is probably hundreds of millions. So there's a very populated spiritual world that we live in. So Nick talked about that. But where does that leave us? Because we know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. There's this dynamic going on that Jesus came and he established authority and he paid for our sins and he broke these chains that the enemy had on us, and yet the world is still under the power of the evil one. So it's like Jesus has complete victory over Satan. But Satan is being allowed to continue to rule this world. And when we say this world, the world system. And so there's still this power. So where do we stand in that? So does Satan still have power over us as believers if we're under the death, resurrection, and ascension of the work of the cross? Does he still have authority over us, the enemy? Yes, no? What do you think? Take a risk. It's okay if you're wrong. I'm wrong sometimes, you know? As a believer in Jesus Christ, coming under that work of the cross, death, resurrection, ascension, the enemy no longer has authority over you because of Jesus' authority that is now yours. You're seated with him at the right hand of the Father. You're found in Christ. And so you have this authority. And so for a time, God has allowed the enemy to continue to do his work. But he has put us in that context and said, you've been given authority. Now go rule with me, okay? We're not God. We're not Jesus. But we are representing him. We are sons and daughters. We'll talk more about that in coming weeks. But it reminds me of a scene that whenever I talk about spiritual warfare, I like to watch this scene from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis's story, which is this children's story that depicts these two kingdoms, this dark world, and Aslan, this great lion who represents Jesus, coming in, establishing an army. But it's interesting, and I think it shows a good picture of how Aslan has the power and authority to completely defeat the enemy. But he's raising up his kids to be like him and to learn how to rule. And this scene, I think, captures that.
Susan!
Come on! We've already been through this before. We both know you haven't got it in you.
Pizza! Watch out!
No. Stay your weapons. This is Peter's battle.
You may think you're a king, but you're going to die. Like a dog!
After him. He'll lead you to Edmund. Peter, clean your sword. Rise, Sir Peter Wolfsbane, Knight of Narnia.
So you see, he lets one through. But he's standing right there. The authority of Aslan is present, but he's calling Peter up to something more. And God gets the right to do that. And what we see Scripture revealing to us is there's a place that we have. There's an equipping. There's armor we've been given by God, and a sword. And then we're placed in this world, redeemed, sons and daughters of God, to now take back ground from the enemy. Well, one of the things we need to realize as we do that is there's ground we've already given up in our lives as we sit right now. There's ground when it relates to our personal identity, giftings, strengths, even who we are in Christ that we've forgotten. And we're not living out of those things. I want to be clear. I don't think your identity in Christ is something that the enemy snatches out of your hand because you let him. Okay? I think you're grounded in that, but do you live out of it? Are you living and standing in that strength and walking in it? And the enemy, knowing that you, if you have put your faith in Christ, are now a child of God and a part of the kingdom of God, because he can't steal you, he can divert you. How much ground are you going to take back? You know, how many other lives do you affect and touch that you're supposed to be fighting for and bringing the kingdom of God to and being salt and light for in your life? So it gets personal. One of the things we see revealed in Scripture, some aspects of Satan, is that he's the father of lies, Jesus tells us. Okay, he was a murderer from the beginning. Let's learn a little bit about Satan, and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Okay? Let me just remind you again, the point is life. If you want to read John 10, I encourage you to read that this afternoon. But Jesus is talking about himself as a shepherd, and he's speaking to the false teachers and the false messiahs. And he describes the sheep pen, and he says some are climbing over the fence and stealing the sheep and killing them and destroying. That's that John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's who he's talking about in that imagery. That's the context. But then he says, but I have come that those sheep would have life and have it abundantly, or have it to the full. And how does he give that? Then he goes on to describe as a good shepherd. He leads the sheep out by his voice. And the sheep know his voice and they follow him. And he even says, I call them by name and they come to me. And he gives this picture of these Jewish shepherds who lead their sheep from the front. Come, follow me. They don't drive them from the back. And he leads them out to green pastures. It's a really cool picture. That's the point of this. That's why we need to take these weeks to talk about spiritual warfare. So as we look at the father of lies, how does that play out? Genesis. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? This is the first introduction in the Bible to Satan working his deceptions in people's lives, okay? And what he's doing is he's twisting. Did God actually say? He's questioning. Is that the truth? Did God actually say that you can't eat from any of the trees? And that's not what God said. So there's this distortion of perspective that he brings. And when I say spiritual warfare gets personal, let's listen to how it gets personal with Jesus. If you have a Bible, you can open to chapter 4 of Matthew. You know what? I think I actually put my... Oh, look at that. Prepared. Just got to remember that I'm prepared, right? All right, Matthew chapter 4. So listen to how Satan gets personal with Jesus. I mean, the audacity that he would go after Jesus like this. So Jesus just got affirmed by his Father. His identity was just spoken to him at his baptism. You are my Son with whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit descends on him. Wonderful Father-Son moment. And this comes next. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Understandable, Jesus. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, yeah, but if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. See how Satan gets personal with Jesus? As personal as he can possibly get, if you're the Son of God. We are naive if we think that he would not use those same strategies on us. Like he would be too intimidated to try that one if he tried it on Jesus. He's going to try to get you off course to who you really are in Christ. And that plays out in our perspective, just even a slight twist. When I was in elementary school, I got the role of Davy Crockett in the school play. Some of you have heard this story before. I did not have a beard. No, but I had a coonskin hat, so that they let me borrow. So I tried out for this part. I got this lead role. I was scared out of my mind because I just kind of stepped out into what felt even unnatural for me to be like outgoing and try out for something like that. But I thought, you know, I think I can sing. I think I can carry a tune in a bucket. And the teacher was like, oh, my gosh, where have you been? You know, she had all these other people. So I was like, cool, like the teacher sees something in me. I got the lead role. You know, she must think I can sing. After that, we were on a field trip or something like the next week. And, you know, a group of boys, you know, that group of boys, were walking behind me and my friends. And they're like, hey, Jeff, you sing like a girl. Don't laugh at me, Vanessa. It's okay, I'm over it. God has healed me. We're going to get to that part too. Anyways, so just from that comment, okay, that's a couple of kids being stupid and saying some comment, okay? And that landed with me like, oh, you know, I know the teacher said that I had a good voice and I got the lead role. And I heard a lot of affirmations after doing that play that I did a good job. But then there's these voices. Chewing on that for a time, and by the way, if you think the enemy waits for you to grow up to go after you, forget it. There's no good in him. No good in him. So I start to latch onto this idea that I sing like a girl and I probably shouldn't let other people, not that girl singing is bad, but they're just saying, oh, your voice is really high. And so I started to make sure that I didn't sing quite as loud in church when I'm, you know, next to my family and we're singing in church. And I pretty much made sure that I never let my friends hear me singing. And it started to shut down a joy that I had in my life. And that turned into 10 years of being really careful that nobody ever heard me sing. 10 years. Okay, can you see the perspective shift, the distortion of something small? Now, is that all the enemy? No, there's all kinds of junk in there. There's my own flesh and my own pride that was hurt there. There's the sin of those boys. But the enemy comes in and he rides on those things. And before you know it, you find yourself from an argument with your spouse to wondering if this is going to end in divorce. And you go, how did I get from, we were doing great yesterday, and now we had an argument over what we should have for dinner, and I'm thinking about divorce. Like, heads up, guys. There's another player in the story. I want to invite my wife, Star, up here to just give another story of what this looks like, how it plays out in your life.
It's on. Maybe this will help you hear me. My parents noticed my administrative gifts early on. I could organize and help bring order. I like to plan family events and make things happen. These were part of who I was. They were celebrated. These things were delighted in. I found a lot of joy in them and how, in just being who God made me to be. And here's a taste of what that looked like sometimes. One of my aunts, I would sometimes spend parts of my summers with, and she had two younger children and worked, and so I would go in while she was working, and I would clean out her fridge. I would organize her canned food and put it all back and in her bathroom, go through the cabinets and organize things, clean the kitchen, even make cookies, make it smell all nice in there. And she'd come home, and she was so delighted. And it would just make me so happy because I could tell I really blessed her, and that made me so happy. As I started to get older, however, I noticed things didn't always go smoothly like that, and people weren't always happy with me or liked my ideas. Conflicts arose, and it felt riskier for me to offer myself in those ways. Joy in those areas got spaced further apart and harder to find. One particular incident may give you a feel for some of what I was experiencing. I was part of a ministry school, and an opportunity arose that I was excited about. I was told I could work within a budget and do meal planning and shop for the ingredients for our school. I poured hours of my time into this. I was so excited and made a meal plan, was charting it all out, and just spent a lot of time doing that. And it was the day to head into town to go shopping for the items, and they called me into the kitchen, and I was told they changed their mind and that they wanted to have someone else do it instead. To say I was disappointed would be an understatement, because to me, this was an area I was already wounded in. And I actually risked stepping back into. Maybe I don't really like stepping back into that. Adding multiple other experiences in there as well, I could recognize that some of it was me. It was a learning curve. I needed to grow. I needed to learn how to work together with other people better. And some of it was other people's stuff, their woundedness, their junk, and I sometimes got the brunt of that. It was about 4 years ago or so, and I was on a walk with Susan Madeira. And at the beginning of the walk, I was saying something about how I used to really enjoy planning and those things. And we had other conversation later in the walk. I am convinced the Holy Spirit put a question on her heart to ask me, because suddenly I started sharing something that suddenly shed so much light on as to why I no longer gravitate toward planning. And it was a huge aha moment for me because I hadn't made the connection. But the Holy Spirit that day helped put pieces together for me. I had worked hard and I enjoyed planning a wedding, my wedding. We had the place, I had my dress, the bridesmaids' dresses, the invitations were all sent out. Almost everything was done. I even had the punch recipe that we were going to use, and the lady who was making the mince, she was all set up. Only the last minute details remained. It was a month before the wedding, and we called it off. I had invested in this relationship for 3 years, and I planned a wedding that never happened. No wonder I was so susceptible. This is where the bomb dropped for me. The other incidents that followed, those were the reinforcements. I don't even remember making the agreement at first. I just remember it felt harder, and there was much less excitement when it came to planning. I heard the message, whatever you plan isn't going to happen like you hope, so what's the point? And people don't like it anyway, so don't plan. But with disappointment after disappointment, I finally got to the place where I agreed with that message, this message that even got a little bit stronger. Planning is hard. I don't want to have anything to do with any planning that involves risk. There's no joy. Looking back, I can see that there has been targeted assault repeated assault from the enemy against my God-given giftings and even my identity. I do have an enemy, and he definitely wants me to hold back, to not use the giftings that God's given me for his glory and his kingdom. I'm still in process and on a journey to healing with this one. Currently, I'm learning how to step back in, to walk with God, to bring order into my own home even, particularly the paper clutter. That's like the last frontier. What I feel is what I used to offer others, I can't even give to myself. And I struggle at times with feeling incapable and overwhelmed. But these feelings are not the truest thing about me. Instead of concluding that I can't have victory and that I don't have what it takes and finding myself avoiding opportunities to spend time working on the things I need to, I've been asking God, where are these feelings coming from? What lies am I still believing here? And asking him, what's true? And then stepping back in, even when I don't feel like it. That's the really hard part. Because my God truly knows me better than anyone else. I frequently read and remind myself the truth that he spoke to me a few years ago. Star, you are someone who can bring order to chaos and my peace in an emotional storm. You have been gifted for both. Both bring you pleasure, and both bring me joy. Wow. I've got a ways to go still, but I've started to taste a little bit of that satisfaction and that joy again. And it's come when I surrender to my loving Heavenly Father and listen to his voice instead of the one that causes me to go to resignation or feel immobilized.
Amen. It's pretty cool to hear that journey that she's still on, but the voice of the Father is involved in that, identifying specific lies in her life, and really God helping her to see those is a part of that story. Incidentally, the broken engagement was somebody else, not me, so... Like, Jeff, why did you do that, you know? But it's so critical for us to embrace the understanding that there may be things, there might be things that you believe about yourself that feel so true. Because the father of lies has convinced you. He's the author of lies. And he can convince you to believe something that's not true about yourself. And we're told that when he speaks his native language in lies. So if you can believe that the enemy speaks, you got to believe that God speaks. He speaks through the truth of his word, which we're going to go after right now, some truths about us. But there is a way to break these agreements. I want to suggest that it's not going to be always 5 minutes in a service of praying or reading through some truths. But maybe God can start to go after that. He can. He can break an agreement or a stronghold just like that. A lot of times, he'll encourage you to open up with somebody, starting with him, and then walking with somebody else to identify what are some areas. It's a lot easier sometimes to walk with someone else with God together, in understanding what do you believe about yourself and how does that line up with truth and what do you need to repent of in how your own sin has played into you getting to that point. How have others hurt you and wounded you, and what is the enemy saying to you? So we get this picture from James. He teaches to submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. They're submitting to God. God is truth. The enemy is lies. There's no truth in him. So they're polar opposites here, okay? The enemy is just lies. Submit yourself to truth and then resist the devil. So you've got to speak to those areas where you believe these lies. God came in and spoke with his fathering voice truth about how he uniquely made Star, and he's the only one who has a right to really ground her and foundation her in that, because he knows he made her a certain way. There's lots of stories like this in this room, I know. I had to think about who am I going to ask to give a testimony in the service, because I know some of your stories, and I know my own. But if we go to truth, so we're going to do a little exercise here as we're kind of closing out. I'm going to read through, see these yellow kind of bookmarked things here? If you want to grab one of those, it should be in your seat in front of you. This is just an exercise of reading truth statements, and we're going to prayerfully read through these, and if something kind of catches with you, or even a, I don't think that's scriptural, you know, even at that level, or yeah, but not me. Just make a little, there's pens there, just make a little mark or make a note to yourself. Don't go after it. Just keep going with us as we read through these truth statements. So Lord, we just invite you to come and speak truth and reveal areas where we're not aligned with the truth in our lives. God, you want to get us back on track in really embracing who we are in you. And that's leading us more and more into being that salt and light. Thank you, God, that we can come to you. So as we read these truth statements, I pray for each person in this room that you would reveal to them, help them to see where their hearts are at with these truths. In Jesus' name. All right, so I'm not going to read the scriptures. They're there. That's homework. We can go home and look those up and dig in. I'll start with up here at the top. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord, one spirit. I am bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint. I have been adopted as God's child. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I am completely in Christ. Complete in Christ. Okay, I am secure. I am free forever from condemnation. I am assured all works together for good. I am free from any charge against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am established, anointed, sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I can find grace and mercy in time of need. I am born of God. The evil one cannot touch me. I am the salt and light of the earth. I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am a personal witness of Christ. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. So take note of where you're at with those. Maybe one of those you want to dig into more. Go to the Word. Is that really true? I'm going to go to Jeff and say, that's not true. Come to me, please. I would love to have a conversation and dig into the Word together and find out. What does God really say in his Word about those things? Because those are the roots that we need to get to that are keeping us from living out of who we really are. And that's conversation, that's prayer, that's being in his Word. That's a deeper community that we can experience to get to that. So Nick and Alex, if you want to come up, a few next step things, because there are specific agreements and strongholds that we have agreed with, that we have even partnered with in some ways, because we're living our lives by them instead of by truth. And there is a way to walk through those things. So some of you, I don't expect that there'll be a lot of you, because it takes some submitting to really take that journey and say, you know what, I'm tired. I don't even know what the agreements are, but I know they're there. And I know what I'm living right now is not out of my true identity and my deepest identity. I'm gonna take the step to walk with somebody else and risk that to see if we can get after some of those things and break them. So go through these true statements again on your own. Journal, remember? Homework 2 weeks ago was get a journal. So hopefully you did that. If you didn't, go get one. Journal a little bit what you're experiencing. Go, get to a quiet place and go through those true statements. Dig into God's word, okay? We talked about that. Share where you feel under it and pray together with someone else. Take that step. Come talk to Star or I and share with us. Well, how could I go deeper into this? Can you pray with me? Is there a deeper journey that I could take? There's people who actually, it's their passion and it's their gifting to walk with you, to help you find freedom and breakthrough. So those are challenges to really go after this stuff that are available to you. Let's pray. Okay, Lord, so there's so much here. It pains me in some ways to just give such a short message on something with so much significance, because the point is life, and shepherd of our hearts, you're leading us to greener pastures. Greener pastures where we're connected in intimate relationship with you in the midst of trial and persecution and hardship in our lives. There's abundance of life available. And so I pray that you would shepherd us in this room. And so we declare your goodness, first off, if there's a reluctance to approach God in this room from anybody, we just break that off in Jesus' name. And even spiritually, in spiritual warfare, as we sing this song, we declare truth about who God is. We place our hearts into your hands to lead us. Lord, let this song be an intercession and a declaration of truth. And I pray for those people this morning who knew I was talking to them, that they would take that step and talk to somebody. Come talk to me or Star or somebody sitting next to them, someone they would trust to lead them to a connection of a deeper walk in this. Lord, stir them up to obedience and submission in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are good.